Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable for this Thursday, the 14th of December. Very nice to have you with us. We have a great panel. Let me introduce them to you. A reminder, you can join us. All you have to do is write to us and share your comments. We occasionally love your letters. It's a panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org, and you can share with us your thoughts, and we'll go from there. Let me introduce the panel to you, and then we'll get started this morning. Teresa Bourgeois is here. She is a communications consultant. She is was with us yesterday. She's with us today, and we're thrilled to have her. Good morning.
And I'm so delighted to be here with this esteemed panel today.
Yeah, we got a good one. All right. We'll get Alan caffeinated. All will be good. Chris Churchill is here. He is a columnist for the Times Union newspaper. We just had a cameo appearance by the the editor of the Times Union, Rex Smith. But... Chris Churchill here this morning.
Good morning.
I don't understand. You seem to be growing a beard. Are you growing
a little
beard?
Bit of a beard? A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, growing.
It's
a beard,
winter
yeah.
time. That's what you do in winter time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And hibernate.
Yeah, hibernate. Malcolm Nance is with us, counterterrorism expert and MSNBC commentator on all things Russia, all things Trump, and we are thrilled that he is a regular on our program as well. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
My pleasure to be here. Nice snowy day.
Yeah, it's good to have you
it's
over.
Almost like winter.
And Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm okay, except I'm old. The president of Springfield College sent a wonderful framed picture.
Oh, I saw that in your office. That's beautiful.
Of me and her. Now, she looks great. And I look really old and decrepit.
I'm not even kissing up to you. I thought it was a lovely picture of you.
So I brought it.
It probably hurts more than it helps.
So I brought it into the newsroom, and I showed it to, of course, the always witty Ray Graff.
Oh, that was.
And he said, it's a fine picture. I would not put that one up. and then I showed it to Kathleen Carroll, our wonderful morning person, and she said, respectfully, Alan, you are old. So I thought that was telling it like
it was. Well, it is kind of a fact.
She said it respectfully.
Embrace it, Alan.
It's in the broadcaster emeritus way.
I would just like to note for anyone who gasped when he said that, this was also the same week that Carolyn gave her notice.
He's telling it like it is now.
So,
that's right.
You know, there is that.
It frees you up a little bit.
Yeah, you can be a little more.
And I'm leaving.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
I'm out of here.
Right.
You're old and I'm
going to go take a new opportunity. Man, are you old.
With some young people.
Good morning. Very nice to have you with us, and it's great. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. I don't want to burden you with my issues, but I'm working on a new device this morning, so if I'm a little slower than normal here on the uptake, I apologize. But let's talk about the tax deal. Let's talk about what's going on. As far as we know, here we go, the Republican tax bill into its final sprint across the finish line the day after suffering a political blow in the Alabama special Senate election. Congressional Republicans sped forward with the most sweeping tax rewrite in decades, announcing an agreement on a final bill that would cut taxes for businesses and individuals and signal the party's first major legislative achievement since assuming political control this year. The president talked about this yesterday in an event at the White House that looked like it was done from a scene from Santa Claus the movie. Did you see this with all the trees and the crystal? And
he's been playing up the Christmas thing a little bit lately.
Wow!
I don't know. There's a hallway in the White House there that looks like it's straight from a horror film.
It does.
I noticed his Twitter account has a Christmas theme now.
What do you make of this? I'm going to go to you first because
the
I know.
The decorations or
no,
the opulence?
Let's go with the tax plan. Let's go with the finish line of the tax plan.
Well, the notion, people are talking about it as if it's a done deal. It's all about the finish line. I was surprised even in the nightly news last night, the Omarosa story got more time than the tax story.
Okay, but that's a great story.
No. It's, well, Who cares?
She tripped the lines.
In people's lives.
I have no idea what either of you are talking about.
Omarosa, who was one of the first contestants.
Oh yeah.
She was the bitchy contestant on the first season of the. Yeah, I just did. On the first
Beep.
Of The Apprentice, and she was
okay. Now we're talking about her instead of the tax bill.
She works at the White House. It's not like
in a cabinet severely lacking in diversity. She was, along with Ben Carson, I believe the only African American in the cabinet, and her part of her job was to integrate the African American community.
She's a communications director for the public outreach. Public engagement.
Exactly. Well, besides greatly screwing up, not having much of an effect in Alabama, General Kelly came on board as the chief of staff, he said, "Oh, by the way, I don't want you just walking into the president's office anymore." She didn't take that very well. So they apparently, on the night of the Alabama election, she and General Kelly got into a bit of a spat. General Kelly said, "After January, we will no longer need your services." And then she started to going into the personal, private residence quarters, and started tripping the alarms to go
plead her case directly to the president.
There you go. I think that's a good story.
And then she was escorted out.
It is a good story.
And it sounds like an episode of The Apprentice.
It
sounds like exactly what she would have done on that show.
Except for the Congress of the United States of America, with no hearings and very little attention to detail, is trying to ram through a tax package which will fundamentally alter our economy. And we had an election in 2016 where working class people said their voices weren't heard, and I think it was driven by the income inequality in this country. And this tax package is going to increase that income inequality. The changes that they've made in it over the last few days seem to have skewed more toward the wealthy as opposed to away from the wealthy. It's unclear how it's going to be paid for. And that tax package, and to pay for it, the combination of the inevitable budget cuts, are going to dramatically hurt average working Americans, and the nightly news is talking about Omarosa.
Okay, well, I think we can talk
other
about
than that, I don't feel strong.
You're under some bizarre, strange impression that the people who voted for Donald Trump, the 77,000 people in three precincts that put him over the top in three separate states, really care about these issues. It appears that their entire worldview is they don't care what he does so long as he sticks it to the opposition.
I think that
looting the Treasury is permission.
I think that they believed him at his rallies when he said that he was on their side and he was going to help them. And
yeah, them.
I think he believed them, but he's not helping them.
Not the rest of us.
He's helping his donors. This is all about the donors. This is the Mercers and the other donors. This is going to fundamentally alter our economy if this passes.
And we've identified that this was one of his key faults. He is he's ruling specifically for a very small segment of America, and the rest of America.
This
be
is
damned.
Going to enrich him. There is no doubt.
Oh, yes, it will.
This tax plan is a mess. I'll agree with you on that. And there's a lot in there to dislike, but it does cut taxes for most of the people that voted for him. It does cut taxes for people who are in those rallies. You're right about
for how long?
Well, for until the it's sun. It
until
does
it
sunset.
Doesn't.
Right, but that's it does for the next 8 to 10 years.
And what about proportionality here? In other words, you may be right. Somebody may get $79 off their taxes. But what about the billionaires at the top who are getting making out like bandits, right, Chris? I mean, don't you see that?
Chris, I think I think the problem is if you just look at one portion of it, because I read your column too. Uh-huh. If you just look at one portion of it, yes, they can say, it cuts taxes, but not over the lifetime of it. And the what you give up for those tax cuts, you don't get the deductions that you had gotten in the past. Mm. Plus, they're going to cut education programs. They're going to cut library programs. They're going to cut housing programs. They're going to cut everything.
But those cuts are not part of this. And they
but it's
you're
a
right that they
it
may,
will be a consequence of it. You can't
you're right
those.
That they may come, but you can't. But that's a different argument, I think, in a sense. I'm not. Listen, I don't want to be
look
the.
At it in isolation.
I'm not the big defender of this. I think there's plenty of problems with it. But you also can't ignore the fact that it does cut taxes for the average household around here by about $2,000 a year. That's real
money
for
people. I actually watched the Republican commercial that's been playing almost nonstop now on MSNBC in the morning during Morning Joe. And the amount that they give of, you know, dinner table talk is $1,295 on average, which is $3.55 per day. So
it's still real money to people.
Half a latte per day.
But it's not real money.
It is real people.
$1,000 isn't real money to the average American.
$1,000
over real money.
Hold on, $3.55 a day is not real money to people.
But I disagree.
I think it is.
Okay.
But what about the other costs? What about the effect that it has on healthcare? What about the effect
when you
that
lose
it
your
has
healthcare?
Right, the other money that you are paying out of pocket as a result of the reductions in the services,
inevitable increases in state and local taxes because of the
there's
cuts
nothing inevitable about that.
What do you mean? There's nothing inevitable about that.
I just disagree that there'll be tax increases in the local
level. If it was explained properly.
Listen, this isn't the first time anybody's cut taxes. This is actually a smaller tax cut as a percentage of GDP than the last three tax cuts.
I think if you explain it properly and you say, you're getting $355 more per day, Donald Trump will get $10,000 more per
day. That's what I just said, proportionality.
Proportionality. People would say, oh, we're not going to have this tax cut. It's not explained that way. It's a bait and switch. It's just the use of rhetoric to make people give up their money for the literal looting of the Treasury.
Okay, so let me go. I'm trying to diagnose Chris's statements here. So, but why then do you feel that you say that there are elements of this tax plan that are a shambles? So what do you...
I do think it should be weighted. I agree with Marco Rubio that there should have been a bigger child tax credit. I do think that it does...
I think I have to mark that down. I think that's the first time we've had a guest on the show that has said, I agree with Marco Rubio.
Well,
okay.
I think it should do more for the people who, you know, the working class people that Teresa's talking about. And I think it should do less to put money in the pockets of the very wealthy. But it's to say that it does nothing for working class people is inaccurate in my view. I mean, $2,000, you can say it's not a lot of money or it's, you know, $5 a day or whatever, but $2,000 is a lot of money to people.
Play a fish a day.
I'm not...
Hey, a meal a day.
Crummy
meal, but okay.
Well, yeah, but you know.
Yeah, but
what's it going to cost them? They're going to get $2,000 back in taxes, and not everybody will, and we don't know yet how they're going to pay for this. But how much is going to come out of their pocket in other ways? I bet it's going to be more than $2,000. That's why do most economists say that this is not good for average working families? Why do 43 out of 45 economists polled by the University of Chicago say not good for the economy?
Yeah, why do the Trump kids need a $1 billion tax break? A literal handing them of $1 billion when their father passes by eliminating the estate tax?
We can focus on the Trump kids, but we also focus on the people who get $2,000 more in this region, and that's some
But Chris, if I may...
I agree with you that the reductions. First of all, this is mostly a corporate tax cut, right? So that, I mean,
profit margins skyrocket.
Corporate profit.
They said they won't invest it, and that's been that was tested amongst
their
own class.
Reducing the corporate tax rate has been a goal of many administrations, including the Obama administration, because we have the highest corporate tax rate in the world.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Empirically, not true. That is just rhetoric.
It is not rhetoric.
Not true.
Not true at all. You need to go to Norway, where I just was. Let me tell you.
All right.
You want to talk about corporate tax rate.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, I was trying to get a word in edgewise.
What? How is that working for you?
No, it didn't work. But I do think it's quite clear that what the motivation for this thing is. And there's nobody who respects or loves Chris Churchill more than I do, except maybe his family. But I do have to say it's good to see a spirited discussion. But, you know, come on, give people $700 a year as opposed to giving these corporations the world and giving the rich guys, you know, who want to leave everything to their kids, you know, these the richest of the rich being allowed to be exempted from this. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Now you get to go. Go ahead.
Here's a fact check from NPR, which I think is a pretty reputable source.
Sometimes.
The claim, the U.S. has the highest corporate tax rate in the world. The U.S., the answer, the U.S. has the highest top corporate tax rate among advanced economies.
But nobody pays it.
Nobody pays it.
That's not true.
Wait, oh, wait, really?
Except
Let's
for
do,
me.
Do a fact. Do
My
a,
LLC pays it.
Do a tax.
Exactly. That's exactly the point.
But you know what? I will not give up health care for Americans, 19 or 13 million Americans, in order to lower my tax rate by a percent.
And let's
That's
talk,
just selfish.
And let's just talk about tax. Let's just talk about this, you know, for a second. This is you know, GE pays not a penny. Not a penny.
Exactly.
That's, well, so that's don't talk to me about lowering it. That's ridiculous.
But when people say corporations, they always talk about GE or Walmart or
well,
all the big
course.
Corporations. They don't pay it. That's true, because they have lobbyists who can lower their effective tax rate. Little guys like Malcolm, they do pay the 35, and that's why.
And happily. You know why?
Well, not. It's easy for you to say, but a lot of them aren't paying it happily.
I'm from the lowering Captain America it, School of Socialism.
Lowering it for corporations doesn't just do it for GE and all the big corporations that don't pay it anyways. It does it for all the little businesses, including all of the shops along here on Central Avenue and all the little people who companies that can actually use that money. The focus, to say that every corporation is just some big evil, you know, there's a broad range of corporations, and those big corporations already are working the government to not pay the top rate. It's the little corporations that are paying the top rate.
Unfortunately, so we should exacerbate that is what this. Why don't we sit down and write a bill that took as long as we did to do the Obamacare bill, which was almost
if
2 years.
If GE is paying nothing now and a
discussion.
Small business is paying 35, doesn't that make it more fair for the small business to get to pay 20?
We have no earthly idea what the impacts are, because this thing was given an hour before it was voted on.
All right, we're gonna pause there. You all need to calm down. We'll be
good panel. Good panel.
It's good. We'll be right back. We'll continue our conversation. We'll get revved up even more during the break. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Chris has a personal email. We'll be after this. We do know this. Our email server is working thanks to Chris Churchill. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to read some letters. Then Teresa's going to tell Chris why he's wrong, and then and then we'll go on to other topics.
And Malcolm is going to explain why Andrew Cuomo could press 350 pounds.
He looks great in a polo shirt. That's all I can say.
I'm telling you, we have it. And if anyone gets to see, go on Twitter and see the little our Karen DeWitt, the incredible Karen DeWitt, our Capitol correspondent, and who is I was going to say one of. I think she's the most respected journalist covering the Capitol.
She's a
tremendous journalist. She's been there for decades. She does the job better than anybody. Got into it with the governor yesterday, asking him a question about sexual harassment policy in the state government, and he just went off on her.
A perfectly fair question.
And he said, "Well, it's not state government. It's Hollywood. It's corporations. It's media. It's everybody." And she said, "Okay, but what are you doing in the state?" And blah, blah, blah.
And so, he said, "You do a disservice to women."
Yeah, you do a disservice to women. And
you, Karen DeWitt. Unbelievable journalist.
And she was asking about Sam Hoyt, who was a guy with a history there, who has, you know, been revealed as having more history lately.
And so. he didn't the governor didn't take it well. So he ended up doing a little bit of damage control later, having another conference call after the press gaggle, trying to make that good, and then finally ended up apologizing to Karen. But what he said, he was cranky, just a little upset over the
tax plan.
The tax plan.
Makes everybody cranky.
Well, the tax plan, to say nothing of a bunch of trials coming up in which...
And an FBI investigation.
FBI investigation of what he's doing, although I must say on that one, while I I think what goes on is reprehensible. It's been going on since Nelson Rockefeller, what they are apparently investigating, which is that he is putting people on payrolls in other agencies, but using them in the executive chamber to do what we might call politics.
What? It is an old practice, but I think he's doing it more aggressively than other people have done it, and that may be what
Rockefeller?
Attracted their attention.
Yeah, Rockefeller did. Yeah.
No, I mean,
I don't know what was bothering Rockefeller. Him, but he really
something's on his mind.
Yeah, because he really went after her, and she was just asking him some basic questions about sexual harassment policy in the state, which I think need to be asked.
Okay, let's go to some letters.
Okay. From Nance. Dear Alan.
Not you.
Oh. Yeah. You're not the only one. I and many others are old and feel the same way you do. But you are relevant. You are smart. You are right almost all of the time. What do you mean almost? So forge ahead for all us 70-plusers.
Right on.
Now that's my kind of letter, don't you think?
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. It's got to be an American.
Suspiciously
class.
Your kind of letter, I think.
You know, I think there should be.
Did anybody see him typing on his phone? Or
I think it's awesome that the oldsters are injecting some common sense into what's going on these days.
Yeah.
It's almost like decency has been lost.
Yeah. What do you mean, oldsters? WAMC app says the next letter. Good morning, panel. Just a note to say I appreciate the WAMC app. Had to take a bus a couple of times recently. It's nice to still be able to listen. Have a great day. And that's Paul from North Adams.
Oh, you can listen to it on the app?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, you can do anything on the app. I've heard our app in Colombia, South America, and in Florence, Italy.
Get it, because I'm going to Libya, and I'm going to start listening to the roundtable.
Yeah, sure.
You when are you going to Libya?
When Reverend Al Sharpton takes me, which is soon. I'm going to go look for slavers.
Okay, all right.
So the next
Somebody
one comes...
lives a very different life than we do.
The next one comes from Ron S. Tax bill, Arctic oil drilling. Does the final version of the tax bill still contain the provision that would allow drilling for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge? The answer is
yes.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
it's
how they got the
Murkowski
vote.
Right. Vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Won't be Potterville without drilling in the Arctic.
Yeah.
It's shameful.
So Ryan says, someone said they belong to the Captain America School of Taxation.
That is?
That socialism.
American
socialism.
That he gladly pays corporate tax. Please explain your position for my curiosity. Huh?
Malcolm?
Huh? Oh, well, you know, actually there's a book out there called The Virtues of Captain America, if you ever go read it. And it talks about how that cartoon character was forged in the FDR era, in the World War II sharing and what they call the American socialism of, you know, common bonds, common sharing, common, you know, hardships. And when the tax rate was somewhere around 85 to 90%.
Sure.
The corporate tax rate. And so that's what I was saying was, I'm all for us giving our fair share to make sure that the roads, the highways, the military and fire departments are all taken care of. I have no problem paying my taxes.
And I've talked about it before, but there's a group called Responsible Wealth. It's a group of very wealthy Americans, and they've written a letter, and more than 400 have signed it. Disney's famous names that you would know, and mm-hmm. others, saying that we believe that this is not a good tax package. That you know we should be taxed just for the reasons you're talking about. That it's good for their businesses. That because the taxes pay for the job training, pay for infrastructure, transportation, all the things that they need to make the money that they're able to make.
But at the same time, there has been widespread bipartisan agreement that the corporate tax rate is too high. President Obama wanted to lower it. This isn't some radical idea that corporations are paying too much when you compare us to the rest of the world.
I don't disagree with you that there could be a tax simplification, that there could be a tax overhaul.
And I don't disagree with you that there's not a lot of problems with this tax bill. So, you know, it's not that we're disagreeing on everything.
This tax bill, and if they were so proud of it, why is it being done rushed and in secret? Why aren't they holding hearings on it? When the Reagan tax bills passed the last big tax bill, there was over a year of hearings, negotiation, discussion. They aired it out to figure out, because tax policy is complicated. And this is being rushed through, and it's going to drive millions off of the healthcare rolls, so on and so forth.
I can tell you why it's being rushed through. It's being rushed through because they're terrified about the 2018 midterms. they want to be able to show some sort of result, and they want people to start getting more money in their checks as early as February.
I think they just don't want people to know what's in it. That's
if it's rushed through, because if you say, listen, we're opening the doors to Fort Knox and the Federal Reserve, take what you want, people would actually object to that type.
Mm. So, all right, let's go to letters.
Okay, and here is from Catherine, who says, old. Dr. Chartok, you are a young old. We are lucky to be able to get old in capital letters. Get. I hate being old, but I'm sure glad I'm here. Sure glad you are, too. Isn't that nice?
I'm telling
very
you.
Nice.
Citizen emeritus.
Another suspicious one.
We should replace the phrase old with citizen emeritus.
Found me out. Okay, tax reform bill. All the articles I have read show that it is my income bracket. 25 to 30,000 will pay more in 2019. Combine that with the fact that the CHIP programs remain unfunded, means that child health care, right? Remain unfunded means that my options are very few. I would be almost better off as a college-educated woman losing my job, applying for Medicaid and housing help. Since Paul Ryan has made it clear those programs will be on the chopping block, there's not much hope for folks like me, and thank you from Leah.
I'm sure the Trump kids will be glad to do something for you. Never.
So according to the New York Times, people earning $20,000 to $30,000, 45% of taxpayers in that income group would get a tax cut in 2019.
Of?
Well,
$3.55.
It may be small, but I mean,
what deductions are they going to
lose? You get a cup of coffee.
Say it again.
Will get an income tax cut, but what deductions are they going to lose? So overall, are they going to pay more or less?
And the health care.
And these tax breaks sunset for individuals. They don't set sunset for corporations, but they do sunset for individuals.
Right, in 2027, I get that.
So I know time for
but
the election.
I don't care. You know, I've said this before here. The 2027 argument doesn't mean anything to me. There will be four more tax bills between now and 2027. It doesn't matter what
there
it
hasn't
does.
Been a tax bill in 30 years. Why do you think there's going to be four more?
There was a tax cut just a few years ago.
Yes.
They can change the rates. I don't think anybody thinks that they're going to, maybe they will, but in 2027, I think most people think that they would never allow that to go through.
So this is like the Reagan tax cuts in the early 80s.
I want to go back to what you were saying before. Yes, 45% of taxpayers get a tax cut in that income bracket, and that includes the deductions because they double the standard deduction. That's why people get the tax cut. It goes from $12,000 standard deduction to $24,000. Very few people are going to have more than $24,000 in deductions, even people who pay high taxes in New York State.
All right, let's do two more letters and then, or one, however many Alan has, and then we're going
to
go to a break.
We got one letter, I can't find it right now, that said, I'm getting nothing out of today's discussion. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that there's at least one person out there. We got a lot of letters about people who think that it's great. And we particularly like the fact that we're mixing it up a little bit here.
Back to what that guy is. So just for the full figures, 46% in the 20 to 30,000 income bracket would get a tax cut, 49% would see no change, and 5% would see an increase.
Yeah, but I think once you sort it all out, Chris, with the AMT.
Yeah, with your facts and your numbers
and all like that.
See, that's the problem. I think that if you just look at one piece of it, and that's what the rhetoric that Paul Ryan and Trump are doing. Yeah. But if you look at the overall effect on the family, on the family's income, then the experts say that it will be a loss for them. If you look at, you know, premiums, healthcare premiums are going to go up. A lot of people are going to, you know, 9 million kids losing their healthcare plus 13 million because of the mandate. It's going to hurt people who have pre-existing conditions. It's going to cause premiums to rise for everybody. There's just a whole ripple effect. And we saw this. This is not unlike what Reagan did in the early 80s. And the architects of that Reagan tax cut, Bruce Bartlett and others, are saying, don't do it. We thought it was a good idea. It didn't work. Don't do this again.
Mm. All right, we're going to pause you there, and then we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back.
about 350.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Let's go back to the letters and we'll move on to other topics.
Okay, Joe, I'll do that. Okay, Texas, says Fred. Hi, there seems to be a disconnect. The general population is going to have all this cash to spend and so buoy up the idea that our economy is thriving for the Republicans. Then what? Thanks, Fred.
All right.
Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Malcolm is right in saying that malice against liberals is a prime motivating factor for Trump's base. Just watch them at any of his rallies. I love that Teresa can't believe that about people, but unfortunately, it's true. Bob from Albany.
Bob's a smart man.
Did you want to say something, Chris?
I was just saying malice. There's too much malice on both sides toward the other
negative.
Side.
This is all on one side.
No,
it's pretty sad.
No, I mean, the nastiness and the demonization. It's on both sides.
You know, I was a lifelong Republican until I started really understanding where the shots were coming from, and they were all coming from the right.
Yeah. Okay, so question for Malcolm and from Randy. What is going on with Lindsey Graham? He recently tweeted an advertisement for a Trump golf course, and he tweeted that Trump was, quote, right about Alabama. Is he also compromised?
You know, Joe Scarborough had a very good discussion about Lindsey Graham today, where he begged him to refind his center, to come back to what, you know, the way he was with John McCain defending the nation. I don't know what they have on Lindsey Graham. You know, this term we use, kompromat, which is the Russians' term for blackmail. You know, there's a lot of things about Lindsey Graham, but he has jumped solidly back onto the Trump train after spending a year in literally calling him a con man. So whatever he's got on him, it's good.
Chris, did you want to take umbrage?
No.
No. Okay.
Oh, good.
All right.
I don't know what Lindsey Graham is doing. He used to be the biggest Trump critic, and now he seems to be on the train. I don't know. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. What changed?
Bob says, John McCain has been hospitalized. One wonders if he'll be on the floor for the vote and what ramifications might be if he's unable to be present in the chamber.
Yeah, God bless John McCain. He's at Bethesda Naval, or what's now called Walter Reed Joint Hospital in Bethesda, and undergoing some very serious treatments for his chemo and his radiation therapy.
And that also raises, Malcolm, the question of the new senator from Alabama as to whether or not they should hold up the vote, which, as you know, the Republican Senate leadership was all for when it happened the last time when it was their guy.
Scott Brown.
Yeah.
Scott Brown.
So,
and one other thing.
They're now talking about seating him until mid-January.
Right.
So I think they're going to slow walk this as much as possible. But it looks like they're going to have to delay the tax vote they can't do it this week. They're going to do it, they talked about, early next week. But now that McCain's in the hospital, what are they going to do?
What I can't figure out is why Susan Collins, is drinking the Kool-Aid. But she is.
Well, she was promised that nothing would happen to Social Security and Medicaid and to the health care programs.
And she was promised that they would pass that bipartisan health care fix to as the trade-off for
cutting mandate. I think it's just
cover
for her. I think she's providing herself with a feel-good moment for cover, and she is going to be betrayed horribly, and I don't think she'll care because she has donors, too, who are from the Republican base.
Is there any chance they find enough Republicans to vote against this, do you think?
All they need is two.
All they need is two. Well, if McCain...
I don't see it. I don't see where they're coming from. They're all...
Way too much money to be had here.
Well, Rand Paul...
They need more than two, right? Because they still have the tiebreaker.
Well, what did Rand
they
Paul
would need
say?
Three.
If the McCain's out.
You're right.
So what did Rand Paul say?
Well, Rand Paul has always said he stands firm on deficit. So what's he going to do on this
one? No, I think he's going to be with him on this one.
It depends on if
he's already bought.
Yeah, right. I do.
Jeff Flake?
Tax bill
Jeff
vote.
A no.
John McCain has been hospitalized. One wonders if he'll be on the... Oh, we did that. Thank you very much. Okay.
And we do wish him well. He's going through a tough time.
A tax plan, says Stacy. Hey, Chris, what about me? Single? No kids? I'm a college professor. $3.95 per day. $3.95 per day. It's a joke. Chris, you've drunk the purple Kool-Aid. We have to look 6 and 8 years down the road at the impacts of this tax bill. Regards, Stacy.
If you don't get a Frappuccino, you can make it through.
I'm just going to say...
With a regular coffee, you'll be up.
$3.95 a day, is an element of elitism to say that that doesn't mean anything to people. It does. That money adds up for people. There are a lot of people scraping by, you know, and you can say, oh, that's a throwaway amount of money, but it's not to a lot of people. Well, $2,000 a year is not.
If you're canceling school lunches, then you'll need it.
But, Chris, you know, I mean, you make a point, except that the other point is, you give the poor schlumps at the bottom $3.95 a day, and you rip it all off at the top. That's
Listen,
not
I,
nice.
I have already said I don't like that part of it. But my argument here is against the notion that it doesn't do anything for people in the middle incomes. It does do things for those people. It does do too much for the wealthy. I am with you on that part of it.
Yet by saying that, you're giving them cover.
It's rhetoric.
I mean, by saying—
It's not rhetoric. It's true. Yeah, I mean, look at the New York Times, 50 to 75,000.
That's like saying
80% get a tax cut.
It's like saying to someone, "Here's $5. I'm taking your house."
It's not like saying that.
I don't disagree with you. The $2,000 is real money for families. $750 is real money for families.
Yes.
But that's going, by all the expert analysis, that's going to disappear because of other costs that they're going to then have to bear as a result of the application of this, the implications of this tax bill, whether it's going to be in higher health care premiums or higher local taxes or, you know, less funding for, you know, higher rates going into parks. I mean, that's a silly one. But, okay, look about...
Well, the local tax burden.
Local tax burden is going to go up.
Oh, my God.
Education costs.
How does the local tax burden go up? How does the city of Cohoes raise your taxes because of what the federal government is doing?
Because if you don't have federal funding for water and sewer programs, if you don't have federal funding for education programs, if they get cut, if housing...
If those are different debates.
They're already saying they're going to get cut.
Wait, no, they're not. Who's saying that?
Listen to Paul.
But it's still an if. They
Ryan.
Still need to do it.
We are
That's
talking
a separate
about
argument.
Republicans,
you can be.
Aren't we?
You can.
Listen to Paul
you
Ryan.
Can,
wait, whoa, whoa, whoa! One at a time, because then that lady.
You could hypothetically be
that lady.
That lady. Yeah. We don't need that lady.
Lady.
On us. If she wasn't listening, it wouldn't be a problem.
She's got a lot of power here.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, all I'm saying, you're saying, well, they will get a tax cut, but if this happens and if that happens, that tax cut, well, those are ifs.
The Democrats
those can be fights that can
this
be.
This is Malcolm can weigh can
be
on this one.
That can come next. You can be, somebody could hypothetically before this, before these tax cuts and against all the things that you're talking about, if they can barely get.
But it's all part of the same package.
No, it's not.
It's
those
all,
have to be future decisions.
No, you cannot look at this in isolation for what it's going to cause.
This money is disappearing from the Treasury. It will not be available. It will be given away. Things that were funded will have to be either cut or defunded.
No.
Let's not make any mistakes here.
That's not.
Oh, come on. Really?
This country's run deficits for as long as I've been alive. They're
going
to
the time of Washington, because it's not a family bank account. It's a government.
We don't. Well, exactly. So to say that you take it from the Treasury, that means the automatically
no,
be this and
money.
That and
whoa,
this
whoa,
and that.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa.
It doesn't
work
that way.
Can you guys go one at a time? That lady is already hung up. Go ahead.
Hung up?
Listen, we haven't been paying for the government that we have for a long, long time. This will bring make for a bigger deficit, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to continue to fund certain programs. We'll just borrow more money, which is a bad decision, by the way. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I think you need to go back and study what happened in the early 80s, please.
I actually listen to the Republicans when they say what they're going to do and what they intend to do. Okay, I don't give them benefit of the doubt. I take them by their actions. And their actions at defunding government, and this just if this last year hasn't been a good example of them becoming the wrecking crew, all the things which impact your lives every day, like your child's health care, you're going to have to pay for it. Or they want the states to pay for it, which will burden you further when the state raises taxes. It ain't worth the cost of a latte every day.
Listen, I grew up poor. If both parties want to come together and do some sort of bipartisan grand agreement to help poor people in this country, I would be the first one in line for it. Neither party cares about poor people. Neither party is doing enough for those people. Charles Barkley the other day said about the Alabama, it's a reminder that the Democrats, they need to pay more attention to poor people and black people. And listen, both parties have ignored those people. So to say that this alone, the giving people who are working class people more money in their checks each week is somehow this great evil thing. I'm just not going
to
buy that.
One party is firmly committed to the looting of the Treasury and has made it very clear what their intentions are. And to come and use the rhetoric that, oh, but everyone's going to get a little bit of something, is disproportionately compared to the Donald, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, is insane. And it's disingenuous. And I don't think the average person out there will see, will reflect that $3.55 per day in their budget.
In any case, we've got a really fast letter I want to read.
All right, go ahead.
It's always nice to hear cherubic Chris Churchill try to defend the position advocated by his Hearst tabloid newspaper's employer. It's entertaining to hear the dialogue between real critical thinking and smoke and mirrors. The TU at its best, the tax plan is all about gutting the New Deal, and that's from Michael.
That makes no sense because the Times Union has come out against this tax plan, so it's not a Hearst position.
It makes no sense because he's not that cherubic. Well, when he gets that beard, he's going to be salty.
That too, right.
You know, caveman look.
Beard is itchy, which is partly why I'm grumpy.
And Martha says, hello, panel. I find Chris to be both disingenuous and talking out of both sides of his mouth this morning. Of course, a few dollars a day can make a difference, but if it's taken away in other ways, it's of no benefit. If Chris is truly against the plan, be against it and stop parroting aspects of it that presumably are selling points, not actual benefits. And that's Martha from Bethlehem.
I don't think there's anything, there's no reason why you can't be for certain parts of it and against other parts of it.
All right. With that, let's take a break. We'll come back. Hey, Malcolm, we want to find out about this whole Rod Rosenstein thing. We want to find out about what's going on there. We want to find out what's going on with Russia. We'll tap in. We'll make you cranky, too, next.
Okay.
Speaking of, Ray Graff is next with a... I'm sorry. Was that
grumpy.
A shot? Yeah. Okay.
Grumpy. You should see what he said about me this morning.
Mr. Grumpy.
He meant that. He said he meant that. All right.
You, Mr. Grumpy.
Ray Graff at news next. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Thursday morning. Alan Chartok, Malcolm Nance, Chris Churchill, and Teresa Bourgeois. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein adamantly defended the character and impartiality of Robert Mueller III, the special counsel, as he came head-to-head on Wednesday with an increasingly aggressive campaign by Republicans to discredit the inquiry. The Republicans' effort received a fresh jolt from the release one night earlier of text messages exchanged last year between an FBI agent and an FBI lawyer describing the possibility of an election victory by President Trump as terrifying and saying that Hillary Clinton just has to win. Mr. Mueller removed one of the gentlemen, Peter Strzok, from the Russia investigation as soon as he heard from the text, a step that Mr. Rosenstein praise. Nonetheless, Republicans used the messages as fodder to attack the impartiality of Mr. Mueller during an appearance by Mr. Rosenstein before the House Judiciary Committee. Malcolm Nance.
This is the clumsiest example of obstruction of justice that I've ever seen. I mean, they were literally saying two FBI agents who were tweeting or were texting to each other. Who were found in what we call own force monitoring, where we monitor your communications to make sure you're not leaking things, were found to have had personal opinions, of which every person in the Bureau is allowed, and their opinions did not jive with the investigation. As it was done, as a matter of pure impartiality, they were removed. One agent was removed from the investigation, and it was reported to the Office of the Inspector General of the FBI, and that was it. Actions taken. Now the Republicans found this report from the Inspector General and are saying, aha, you are no longer impartial. You took someone off the case who had an opinion about Trump. Well, I hang out with the Bureau guys a lot. Last year, they were all on the Trump train. And I mean every one of them. People who would tell me to my face that Hillary Clinton should be brought in, should be arrested. You're allowed to have your own opinions. But what you cannot do is then go to the Deputy Attorney General and say, now cancel all criminal investigations into the White House, because they have already convicted two people and they have indicted two others. And now that is just obstruction of justice.
I have said on these before these microphones again and again that they have to fire the special counsel, Mueller. They have to, because it's going to get closer and closer and closer. We're going to get closer to the Dick Nixon model. And Teresa is shaking her head vehemently. But nevertheless, I have no doubt that they are going to try to do that. And this is the Praetorian Guard out in front, the Republican vassals in the House of Representatives doing their dirty work under instruction, by the way, from the White House.
Look at Jim Jordan, Representative Jim Jordan yesterday. If you watch his questioning, he was just adamantly saying, can't close this investigation, cancel it. We don't want anybody looking into the president,
sure,
saying nothing was there to be seen. They have convicted the former national security advisor. He has pled guilty and is now a convicted felon to lying to the FBI. Another person lying to the FBI. Two other people, international money laundering.
In-house arrest, under house arrest in their homes.
Yeah. And so the question you would have to ask is, why are you so adamant that you want this investigation stopped? And
okay,
like you said.
No, I want to hear from Teresa, because Teresa, I'm putting my money on the fact that they have to try to fire him, Mueller, because it's getting too close.
And I don't think he's going to. Yeah, I don't think they'll fire Mueller. I think they're doing something different. I think their approach is to methodically do what they do, which is to discredit. It's, you know, the little Marco, the lock her up, all that kind of talk. The same thing that Trump did for 2 years on the campaign against all of his political opponents. He and his team, his ilk, are doing that now against the Mueller investigation. So I don't think he'll, rather than outright fire him, it's just working overtime to try to discredit him. But when I was listening to this hearing yesterday, I was thinking back during the campaign. Remember when Giuliani went on Fox and predicted just before the Comey announcement came out about Clinton that there's going to be something soon?
Yeah, right.
And then when they backtracked to figure out where that came from, it came from his pals working with the New York FBI office.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. You know, one other point I'd like to make, because I tweeted about this today. Fox News yesterday put out the new line of attack that they're doing against the FBI. They are going strictly to completely discredit the Bureau because they're afraid of what's going to come, which is more indictments, more arrests. And here's one thing. A guy on there named Tom Fitton said, I think the FBI has been compromised. Forget about shutting down Mr. Mueller. We need to shut down the FBI because it has turned into a KGB-type operation by the Obama administration. That is their new line of attack out of Fox News and Breitbart.
And you
today.
Guys really think that they're not going to try to fire Mueller with that kind of garbage going on? Of course they're going to try to fire him.
Shut down the FBI. You might get a lot of people in favor of that.
Yeah, and replace it with Blackwater, which is what some of the proposals are.
But think about what we've been through in the last 2 years about discrediting the press, the First Amendment, discrediting the intelligence, national intelligence, discrediting the FBI. This has implications to the underlying fundamentals of our democracy far beyond this investigation. I mean, it's really problematic. And in the meantime, we need to have a real legitimate investigation into what the Russians did meddling with our elections. We're now, you know, we've lost a year of looking into and trying to guard against further meddling by the Russians into our election.
And this morning, the Washington Post has a new article out about that, about how Trump flat out, in the face of all U.S. intelligence, refuses to do anything about it, refuses to even acknowledge its existence.
And when told by the former president of the United States and his attorney general what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Separate from whether or not he or his folks meddled, we know the Russians meddled, and we're not guarding against that.
But if you believe from the absolute tippy top that none of this is true and it's all just a way of discrediting the current administration, as all the people in his administration and his followers believe, you get people saying, okay, now let's get rid of the FBI because they can't be impartial. What I want to make one last point. They love the FBI when it's a Muslim terrorist. Okay. Same thing with me and U.S. intelligence. Whenever it's terrorists, you'll believe every word I say. But I wrote a whole book, and the CIA put out an entire report last year.
What's the name of that book again?
Plot to Hack America, yeah. Which said the United States was attacked by a foreign entity, and here's how it was done. Then they say, oh, we don't believe a word you say. Let's get rid of you.
So that doesn't good. That's not good.
That's not good. Believe, look, this is gumshoeing. This is law enforcement. And now justice is turning in an impartial investigation. And we have people who understand where it's going. It's pretty obvious that it's going. It's already in the Oval Office. It's a question of whether it goes to the president. And the more desperate they get to shut this investigation down is a good example of probably how guilty they are.
Okay, yes. But if it does go to the president, Malcolm,
yikes,
then you know that they're going to try to fire Mueller. They have
They're going to have to at that point.
Yeah.
But sure. At that point, you're going to have to see who stands for the nation and who stands for Donald Trump.
Where will Senator Graham be then? And Mike Pence, I've long believed he's complicit in all of this, but
oh,
we
yeah.
shall see. But, you know, people say, well, the Russians didn't interfere. Well, what that this is just, you know, the liberals attacking Donald Trump. Well, how do they explain Russian interference in Germany's elections? How do they explain France elections all around the world?
I think most reasonable people, and there are a lot of unreasonable people, I think most reasonable people think that Russia interfered. I think there's some of the debate. The legitimate debate is how much of an effect did it have.
But what I don't get,
correct.
Chris.
Don't you think most people, I mean, it's obvious that Russia interfered. I think most people agree with that.
But what I don't get, and maybe Malcolm can explain, or you can explain, or Teresa can explain, I don't fully understand what the Russians were aiming for. In other words, what were they going to get out of this?
Well, principally, to get Donald Trump into office so that sanctions can be raised, that relationships between Russia and the United States would free up all their illicitly gained money.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Vladimir Putin, just this morning, he was talking to an MSNBC analyst in Moscow, was saying how Donald Trump is beleaguered, how he can't, I love this, reform U.S. healthcare, reform U.S. taxes. When I have a former director of the KGB start giving me advice on how a democracy should be run, I start getting a little worried.
And there are also worrisome reports out of the Ukraine, too, right?
Oh, numerous countries. Georgia, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Germany, France, Greece, Sweden. All of these, the Brexit in England had millions upon millions of impressions that were now been traced back to Russian intelligence. We're under siege, and you know, you've got the king in the castle saying, no, don't even bother opening up, lowering the gate. You know, lower the gate, don't open the gate.
Go ahead.
Also, we have this net, and maybe I'm conflating two things, but there's this net neutrality action that's going to happen today. And one of the things that the New York AG has said is that there's been perhaps undue influence in terms of the comments that they've gotten, and who's provided all of those comments, and who is interfering with that.
Right.
And is it external forces? Is it internal forces?
During the public hearings period of this, they found that thousands and thousands of comments on their website were coming from external bots, were coming from external entities that were not real U.S. citizens. You know, this is a way of where democracy is being weaponized against itself. Freedom of speech itself is being engineered to damage democracy.
And what's the answer to that?
The answer to that is for us to start being aware of it and fighting back against it. We are literally surrendering, and it starts with the president himself, who doesn't believe any of this, because anything negative said against him is obviously a lie.
All right, let's go back to letters. We have about 5 minutes left.
I'll go fast. Ann says, I'm enjoying the lively debate about the tax plan. You need to offer more of this kind of dialogue. Thanks, Alan, for keeping the panel on good behavior. Kathleen says, forgive me.
Our arbiter of good behavior.
Yes,
Alan,
that's me. That's who I am. Kathleen says, middle-class definition. Forgive me if you've already addressed this. Haven't members of the Republican Congress publicly said they define middle-class people as making $200,000? Where does that leave the lower-income earners, the real middle class, in this tax package? Keep up the great work, from Kathleen. And Don says, real debate. Hooray for Chris. The more different points
Hooray!
Of view...
Hooray!
The more different points of view we hear, the better we understand what's going on. And that's Don from Lenox. And Joni says, everyone, quote, everyone will benefit, just marginal, magical thinking, and additional deficit, which in this case is equal to debt. Hello, says
Hello.
Steve. Hello.
Hello.
It's fun to see Malcolm's comments over WMC, having watched him on WMSNBC. He seems a little looser and more direct on the radio. We need both Malcolms.
Because you don't have to wear a tie, right?
I live here and I don't have to wear a tie.
And open bar in the green room.
And that's from Steve in Narrowsburg, where I went to Boy Scout camp. All right.
Does that say
it? No, yeah, sure. 10 Mile River. Listen, panel.
Listen.
I'm sorry, but what happened to higher wages? We have a booming economy, but wages are stagnant. You know, I was going to say that before. We don't need a tax cut. We need higher wages, and that's from Betsy.
And they claim that the wages will go up, but the business community says there's no.
I don't know. I don't know if the business community. I think there's divide in the business community, but I think that is what they're hoping this will do.
What do you think this is? Bedford Falls? Pottersville. Yeah. There's no wage rises in Pottersville.
I don't know. I think of a guy, if an honest man out there is running a bagel shop or something, and he gets more money in his pocket because of a corporate tax cut, I do think there's something to be said for him passing that along. I think a lot of business owners will.
There's also something to be said on your side on this, Chris, about full employment. I mean, you know, there is in Great Barrington, where I live, there are signs on everybody's store saying, you know, we need people.
Help wanted everywhere.
Yeah. Right. And so if that's the case, you got to pay a little bit more sometimes.
At the Lowe's next to my house, you can walk in and they will interview you on the spot and do your job.
But you also need skilled workers. You need investment in science and research to drive innovation, to drive the economy. Mm-hmm. And that's where you're going to see a lot of cutbacks and will have a long-term impact.
You're going to have to go to Paris for that.
And Ray from West Hurley, in the last letter I have here, says, today's panel, what planet does Chris Churchill live on?
Earth.
Planet Albany.
Where's the one from your mom?
Yeah, Planet Albany, yeah. Yeah.
Where's the email from your
mom?
Oh,
yeah. It was a lovely tweet, and it said, it was not from my mom, by the way. I have to scroll back to
Planet. But it could have been.
Chris Churchill is trying to use facts and figures on the roundtable, but is being shouted down by other rude, nasty members. I added the rude.
Exactly.
That's me, Shouty McShoutface.
By the way, Shouty McShoutface, you have an event coming up. We talked about it last week. We'll talk about it this week. On Saturday, the 16th of December, Warriors Haven, the homestead of Veterans Farmstead in the Mid-Hudson Valley. This is in Stockport, New York, on State Route 9, is having an open house, and you can go see the great work that they do, and you'll be there, you'll be signing books, and tell us a little bit about the organization.
Yeah, Warriors Haven is a veterans farmstead for newly returned combat veterans who want to become farmers in New York State, and we're going to create a skills training program to where on our 180-acre farm that looks out over the Catskills and the Berkshires. And we're going to be there this Saturday from 2:30 to 5 o'clock, and you can come yak at me and look at our horses and donkeys.
Now, is Stockport to the north of Hudson?
Yes, it's just outside Hudson, New York, about a mile.
Okay.
And Malcolm will be there 2:30 to 5, and you can find out more by going to warriorshaven.org, warriorshaven.org. And we'll try to get a link up on our website as well at wamc.org/roundtable. But it's warriorshaven.org, and you can go out and meet Malcolm, get a book signed, and talk about the great work they're doing out there. Congratulations on that. That's wonderful.
That website, it's so inspiring. People should go look that
Adopt
up. It's
a
so
horse.
Inspiring. Yep.
Yeah,
do
good
some
stuff.
End of year donating. And remember, people, sign up for health care. You have one more day. Tomorrow's a deadline. Sign up for health care.
And we don't know how the numbers are going yet, do we?
The numbers are up. You mean enrollment?
Yeah.
The numbers are up, but it's a much shorter enrollment period this time. So, but the enrollment numbers are up.
And final, we have a minute and a half, but any final thoughts on...
I have a final thought, which is it's the end of the end of the year. This may be the last time your deductions will count. Mm. This is a great time, if you love this radio station, if you love this program, to chip in.
Give them
at WAMC.org.
WAMC.org. Teresa Bourgeois, thank you very much. We will see you on Monday.
Delighted to be here. Thank
you very much.
And thank you, Chris, for an interesting conversation.
For being with us.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
You two kids are good. Chris, we'll see you soon.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We're gonna invite you back.
All right.
Coming out of your shell.
Malcolm Nance, you'll be back too, I assume.
Yeah, we'll be back before the holidays.
Okay, great. And Alan, you'll be back?
Like a bad penny.
We will be back.
And Joe, you're going to be back?
Yeah, I'll be back. I'll be back in about 2 minutes right after this short break.